Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The first reading for our fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and all who were the high priestly family. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, "By what power, by what name said to them, rulers of the people today, concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 3. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This too is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Christ.
You may be seated, and the sermon hymn is on the screens for you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's see if you can detect the pattern. It's going to be a tough one, I'm warning you. Cain had a problem with his brother Abel. Abel's offering was acceptable and his was not. So Cain's solution? Kill his brother. Esau had a problem with his brother Jacob. Jacob was a scoundrel. He had stolen the birthright and the blessing, and Esau was mad. So Esau's solution? Kill Jacob. Except that Jacob fled before he could actually go through with it. Joseph's brothers had a problem with him. He was definitely father's favorite, and they were jealous. Their solution? Kill Joseph. Well, they wound up selling him into slavery instead, but the first thought was kill him. Pharaoh had a problem with the people of Israel. There were too many of them. So Pharaoh's solution? Kill them. Drown all the male babies in the river Nile. King Saul had a problem with a young upstart named David. People were talking about him. He was winning battles. They were honoring him more. So King Saul's solution? Kill David, unsuccessful as he was. Ironically, not too much later, David had a problem because of an affair he had with his neighbor's wife. She's pregnant. David wants to cover it up. So David's solution? Kill her husband. Oh, it was a casualty of war, mind you, of course. Do you get the pattern? We could. I guess I was asking for that. We could go on naming examples, some of them contemporary, some probably even running through your heads right now. So, for example, I don't know if you looked at the title of the sermon in the bulletin. It's The Final Solution. If that rings a bell, that was the code for the Nazis to eliminate all of the people they defined as Jews. Now, you also notice I didn't put that on the board outside, and on our live stream, that's not also the title of the live stream because I didn't want that out in the wild without any context to it. Here's the real question I want to ask you, though. What about you? Have you ever thought if this person would just go away, then my life would be so much better? So maybe you shot daggers with your icy stares and ignoring of the person. Perhaps you found the opportunity to throw them under the bus. Or perhaps you opened up your mouth and you did some character assassination at the appropriate time. You notice how even our cliches incorporate the idea of murder? There's sort of a reason for that. Because that's really what we're trying to do. We're just trying to do it in a respectable and non-law-breaking kind of way. But it doesn't work. All those people I mentioned, they thought death would solve their problem, but it didn't. And you know who else found that out? The Jewish leaders. They had a problem with Jesus. The people liked him. They were following him. The leaders were losing control and losing influence. So naturally, what do they think? What's the solution they came up with? Kill Jesus. And they did. All it took was a well-timed arm twist of Pilate to have him lift Christ up on the cross. And Jesus breathed his last. And they breathed a sigh of relief. Problem solved. Chop off the head, and the body dies. Except it wasn't. Sure, 3 days later, there's a rumor going around that Jesus had risen from the dead. But that's all it was. They made sure to let everybody wide and far know it was just a rumor. The disciples had stolen the body. See, they could deal with a rumor. But now it's a couple of months later. Now the problem is really rearing its ugly head. His disciples. We heard last week and referenced it last week and this week. The disciples, especially Peter and John, they've healed a lame man in Jesus' name. And along with that, they were proclaiming Jesus risen from the dead whenever, wherever they had a chance. And they just wouldn't shut up. And if it were just them, 12 kooks, who cares? But it wasn't. Because now thousands have heard and believe. Now they have a much bigger problem. So what do you think they turn to as a solution to this problem? Death, of course. They had the disciples arrested. They had them stand before the council just like they did with Jesus. They sent a very clear message. You're going to be next. But it didn't work. Because they didn't count on this. The disciples simply were no longer afraid to die. They had seen Jesus. They had heard Jesus. They had touched Jesus, risen from the dead. They had a good shepherd who was no longer dead, but who was very much alive. And even now, they were confident of his care. And so they were bold. They were unstoppable. And without the threat of death, what power did the Jewish leaders have? So they punished them. They beat them up some. Told them, be quiet. Stop talking about Jesus. Which is what many are saying to us yet today. Stop talking about Jesus. Okay, you don't have to totally stop. You can talk about a Jesus as long as he's not the one who says that he's the only way to the Father. As long as you talk about a Jesus who's nice, who doesn't even really totally care if people believe in him. And you can talk about Jesus as long as he's the Jesus that would never do anything to make anyone feel bad. That Jesus, well, that's okay. But the other Jesus? No. Stop talking, or else. And we have been witness to some of the or else. In our country, Christian business owners put out of business or hauled into court. Some judges have lost their positions. In other countries around the world, Christians are still killed for bearing the name Christ. Because what's the solution if you have a problem with someone? Kill him, of course. But while it didn't work with the disciples, I think we must admit that it often does work with us. Because we can become, what, sheepish in the face of hostility? We can be timid. Like a lamb alone in the woods, when threatened with some kind of persecution, how nervous or worried and even fearful of death, how easy it is for us in here together to speak a response of resurrection. But out there, it can be a different story. So how good it is that we have this Sunday every year, Good Shepherd Sunday, to comfort us, to give us hope in the midst of such a world, to give us strength in the midst of our timidity, to remind us who we are and what that means. Who you are, by virtue of baptism, is a sheep in the Good Shepherd's flock. Through the water and the word that he put his cross on you, he made you a member of his own fold. You are valuable to him. You do matter to him. You are clean in him, and you belong to him. And he, by virtue of his resurrection,
is the good shepherd who is alive and well and caring for you. It doesn't mean that nothing bad will ever happen. I mean, after all, sometimes we wander off and simply get ourselves into trouble, or sometimes the wolf comes rushing right into the midst of the flock. But with the good shepherd, you're never alone. You have a shepherd who will go after you. And since this shepherd is the Son of God himself and not a hired hand, he is a shepherd who doesn't flee when the going gets tough, who will instead put himself between you and the wolf, which we know. We know he didn't flee when the going got tough. He did put himself between you and the wolf when he went to that cross, when he stayed on that cross, when he died on the cross. He laid down his life for you, his sheep. And he took it up again. And because he took it up again, he fulfilled the requirement to be our good shepherd. And now death actually has a life problem. Because the shepherd who laid down his life to take it up again is the very shepherd who leads us to the green pastures of his word that brings us life. The shepherd who laid down his life to take it up again is the one who does lead us to the quiet waters of our baptism, restoring our soul and daily through repentance and contrition, bringing new life to us. The shepherd who laid down his life to take it up again is the one who not only leads us in right paths, but is the very right path himself to life. Jesus, the shepherd who laid down his life to take it up again, is the one who leads us through this life that is lived in the valley of the shadow of death. And here in the midst of it, he is guiding us with his rod, he is rescuing us with his staff, and finally, he will bring us out the other side of the valley to life. The shepherd who laid down his life to take it up again is the one who prepares the table of his body and his blood in the presence of our enemies to again deliver to us into our bodies life. The shepherd who laid down his life to take it up again is the one who pours out an abundance of blessings overflowing in this life, most especially the goodness and mercy that pursue us all the days of our life. The shepherd who laid down his life to take it up again is the one who is preparing a room for us that we might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, death now has a life problem. For Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.